T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And welcome to Overnight America, a little past 11 o'clock in St. Louis, Missouri. We're going to hook up with AccuWeather in about 10 minutes from now. I saw the National Weather Service, they put this graphic out on Twitter that said we're in for a heat wave. Dun, 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 dun. It's a heat wave. I don't exactly know the song, and it's something like that. But on Wednesday, we could be seeing some temperatures, at least leading till the end of the week, above 100 degrees. So we're going to talk to AccuWeather about that in about 10 minutes. Captain Mark Honeybell, he's the author of a new book, which is called America by Motorcycle. He's going from the East Coast to the West Coast. And today, he went from Hannibal, Missouri to Kansas City. I wanted to get his impressions of this great state and give you a little more background of why he's traveling across state. That'll be coming up in about 30 minutes from now. So I finally finished the big project in my house. Oh, yes. It felt great to get it done, but I virtually had no free time. I thought with my wife and son out of town that I would have all this free time and I can just lounge around and do anything I want and it would be the greatest ever. Well, no, it was a lot of boring downtime just waiting for them to come home because I only really had that Saturday and they were traveling back at that point. So I feel like there might have been some missed opportunities, but I got a lot of work done at the house. And if you remember last Tuesday night when we hooked up with Drex, who does the late shift in Canada. We do a simulcast of our two shows together. And, you know, I'm all across Canada. He's all across the United States. It's a cool thing. He said some advice. He gave me this advice. He said, this is what you do. You want to surprise her. You want to do a little bit extra. You want to go above and beyond. So, you know, all the things you said you would get done will be done. But then that little extra thing will just set her over the top. I said, oh, that's a great idea. He recommended that I clean the junk drawer. So if I could just get the junk drawer cleaned out, that'll be a big bonus. Like, oh, yeah, and I did the junk drawer. Honey, I can't believe it. This is in my mind what I thought would happen. So I get all the work done in the house. I get all the painting. I get all the woodwork. I get all the closet doors. I get sawing everything down in place. I mean, I'm doing it all. And my garage is a workshop at this point. I'm working out there sweating like crazy. I mean, I got My whole shirt looks like I just jumped in the pool. I'm working, you know, sweating to the oldies here. So I get all this stuff done. And I thought, okay, what's that little extra thing I can do? And I came up with what I thought was a great romantic gesture. You know what that romantic gesture was? Any woman listening right now, ladies, I think you would just go in double over down in excitement if your husband or boyfriend or whatever did this. I got the vacuum cleaner. I tilted it over and I cut out all the hair that was wrapped up in the little spinner thing underneath it. Oh, my wife has long hair. And then when you vacuum, you get the hair that gets stuck in it. So when you pull it over, you know, you have the two different ways that the vacuum cleaner, the little spinny thing, the little spinny brush underneath, you got one setting where it's just, you know, wood floors, so you don't really need the spinner thing. And then you got the carpets, which is the spinner thing, helps brush up and get a lot of that dirt and stuff and the dust off of the carpeting. So I thought, okay, that's what I'll do. I'll lean her over. I know it's something that she was wanted done for a while. And so I cut all that hair up and I'm ripping hair out of this thing. It was so gross. I'll tell you, I've done some gross things before. I would say this is in line with like changing a poopy diaper, you know, like when the kids, because that's gross, but eventually you get over it and you just kind of get used to it, right? When you have your first kid and you got to change those diapers or whatever. But cutting the hair out, I couldn't get over it. It was just so gross. And I'm trying to get all this hair out. I'm ripping it out like I'm pulling it out of a doll's head. I'm just ripping the hair out and it just more and more and more and more. I got the scissors and I'm trying to cut it. So finally, I get this thing looking like new and I'm really proud of myself. And my wife and son get home and they see the bedroom and they think it's great. My son said, "Dad, you did a great job." And I thought, "Oh, did mom tell you to say that?" He said, no, I think you did a great job. Oh, my heart's melting. And I said, I thought I was going to have to walk out with my Superman cape. Everybody stand aside. The hero was about to put the cherry on top of the sundae. And honey, I did one more thing. She goes, "Oh, really? What?" I said, "You know all that hair that's been bundled up in the vacuum cleaner? Well, I tilted her over and I cut it all out and I got it all off. So everything's good. The vacuum should be running like a charm now." She said, "Oh." And then she went on and left. She didn't say anything. She didn't even say thank you. She didn't say anything. I thought this was going to be my golden moment. Everything looks good. Everything's all set in place. The house is looking good. I got rid of junk. But no. The grand gesture, the one that Drex told me to do, because that's the thing that the cherry on top didn't mean a thing. Ah, what was this all for? Never again am I going to do those little tiny added bonuses. Ever again. Ugh. You have no idea how much hair I pulled out of this thing. I can't even begin to tell you. It was so gross. It would be like torture. Other countries, I'm assuming if Al-Qaeda captures you, that's how they pull the hair out of your head. Like, just like I did with that vacuum cleaner. It was torture. Man, I can't believe how much hair there was. Just makes me wonder. Man, I don't want the job of a vacuum cleaner. All right. So, thank you, Drex. Maybe I'll have to tell him that when we hook up again on Tuesday night. AccuWeather. So, we're going to have a heat wave possibly hitting here. What about this hurricane rain? I saw over on KMOV, they were doing these graphs online. Their meteorologists were showing them, "Oh, it might actually hit here in St. Louis now." They kept showing the track of this hurricane. Because technically, it counts as a hurricane, the one that hit in New Orleans. But good for them. If you were listening to CBS News at the top of the hour, they didn't get all the rain they were expecting, which is very encouraging. You know what? We could use a few days without rain too, but now all that heat is going to be hitting, and I wonder if that's just going to suck it right up. Oh, in Plague Gloria, did you see this story on KMOX.com? It's been corrected, but the bar that the St. Louis Blues visited and got the inspiration for that song, Gloria, brought it back here and started winning after it, has sent cease and desist letters to different places around St. Louis. Those weasels. So I want to talk about that on the show, too. And if you missed it from last week, on Thursday, I had a great, great time with Bob Costas. We did a phone interview with him that kept going and going like the Energizer Bunny. Bob and I were just having a good old time, having a conversation. I think we did a 25-minute interview. And if you missed it on Thursday, it's podcasted at KMOX.com/ONA. I loved it so much, we're going to replay it in the last hour of the show. So at 1 a.m., a couple hours from now, if you missed the Bob Costas interview, we talk about women's soccer. That's going to be coming up to finish off our Sunday night. We're going to talk to AccuWeather next, get a little rundown on this heat wave that should be hitting us here in St. Louis on KMOX. I love this one. Welcome back to Overnight America. I love this bed that goes wah 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 wah. Maybe my favorite of the ones we play. You know what's going to happen later this week, according to the National Weather Service? The heat is on. Oh yeah, not a concert, but on the street. Inside your head. So this is what they put out: major heat wave forecast Wednesday through Sunday in St. Louis. That's why I wanted to bring on our friends, AccuWeather meteorologist Kyle Elliott. Thank you so much for coming on to Overnight America.
Hey, not a problem. My pleasure.
So that's what they're projecting, some really hot days ahead of us. So before we get to that point, I was watching too. So are they extending out this Hurricane Barry? Does it look like this may actually hit St. Louis, some of the remnants of it? Will it get this north?
Yeah, you guys will have some rain from this later Monday afternoon into Monday evening, but it doesn't look like, you know, anything earth-shaking to me. Maybe around a half inch or so of rain. Really no wind from it at all. It's just going to be a period of maybe 3 to 6 hours of 3 to 6 hours of rain there Monday afternoon, and that should be about it.
I see. Well, what kind of rain are we talking? Like, if we're doing Forrest Gump, you know, the upside-down rain, side rain, tough rain, short rain, like, what kind of rain?
Moderate rain.
Moderate.
Yeah.
I don't think Forrest Gump brings that one up.
No, I don't think he does either.
There's even rain that comes from the ground. Yeah. Okay, so we'll look for that Monday night. It'll last a few hours if that's what we end up getting. What I'm more concerned with is the potential for a heat wave coming across the area. Are you seeing any of that?
Oh, yeah. It looks really hot there from Wednesday through at least Sunday, and it could last even into next week. There's some discrepancy on how long it lasts, but it looks like it's really going to set in Wednesday, and it could keep on rolling for a while, too.
Oh, no. Like, how long is a while?
At the minimum, let's see, Wednesday, Thursday, so 5 days at the very minimum, and it could go as long as 10.
What's going on? Why are we getting a heat wave? Is there a reason for it?
Yeah, it's generally just building heat and humidity that was over the southwest and the western U.S. Some of that's getting dislodged and moving into the central part of the nation. The pattern's kind of changing a little bit, so all this heat in the west is getting replaced by cooler air that's kind of coming in from western Canada and off the Pacific, so that's kind of going to force the heat farther east into the Midwest and the central part of the U.S.
Lousy Canada. We always get the Canada messing up our temperatures out here.
Yeah.
So you say about 5 days. What kind of temperatures are we talking about?
Really high, between 95 and 100 pretty much every day during that stretch.
Yeah, and that's the actual temperature. What do you think it'll feel like?
It's going to feel more like it's around 110 during the heat wave, so it's going to be a scorcher.
Oh, no. Kyle, man, this ain't cool.
Hey, send it our way. It's my kind of weather. I love it hot.
You're in Pennsylvania. You don't get heat waves like this, do you?
No, we really don't. I mean, some of it is going to head over our way, but nothing to the extent that it's going to be out there.
Please tell us our friends up in Montana and Glasgow are doing okay. Like, are they getting hit with a heat wave, too?
Oh, they're not going to get hit with the type of heat wave you guys are. I mean, it's going to be warm up there in the 80s for a couple days, but it's not going to be anything like what you guys are going to have.
Yikes. You know, they did say that the urban areas could even get hotter. Is that because of all the pavement that's around?
Yeah, generally. All the pavement in the buildings, you know, all those objects heat up. So, like, think of, like, if you're sitting, you know, going to your car in the middle of the afternoon, the interior of your car, you know, it's in the hundreds, you know, even if the outdoor temperature is 85 or 90, your car is well over 100 inside. So, the outside of the car gets really hot, too. So, all those buildings and all those cars around, that heat gets radiated back out, you know, to the surroundings. So, it could be 95 just outside of town, but closer to 100 in town.
There's nothing we can do to avoid this. Is there, like, is there some kind of freak atmospheric thing that could pick up and we might get lucky?
I don't see that at this point. I mean, you guys really look like you're right in the core of the heat dome.
So what's the heat? The heat dome.
You the said heat dome.
Heat dome. All right. So it's gonna just bubble right around us. Is there a certain part that might get some breaks? Like if you go certain farther north or south of St. Louis, do they are they immune to this heat wave? Or like what's the geographic area that's gonna get hit with it?
Oh, it's a very large area. Pretty much all of the central U.S., Ohio Valley over here in the Mid Atlantic. I mean, it's a very large area where this heat's gonna kind of encompass. You know, maybe once you get up into the northern tier, say central northern Minnesota, the UP of Michigan, up into New England, then you could get a couple days where you have like a break in the heat.
Uh-huh.
But I mean, this heat wave is almost going straight to the Canadian border.
Oh wow! Well, let me.
It's a big one.
I'm gonna do a quick sound effect for you. I want you to guess what this sound effect is.
Okay.
Okay. You want to guess what that might be?
I think you got me on this one, man.
That's my air conditioner kicking on. It's on its last leg. This is not going to be a good time to test it.
I hope it holds up for you.
Oh, that poor thing, man. Whenever it kicks on, I can tell it's struggling, but the thing's still going. I'm wondering if this is going to be its last stand after a few days like this running all the time.
Oh, it's going to get a workout, that's for sure.
Oh, man, air conditioners everywhere. And you see the power outages in New York City. Now, imagine if there was power outages and also a heat wave at the same time. Won't that be a deadly combination? This is a serious deal when you get this much heat.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if you don't have any place to go inside and cool off, I mean, you've got a problem. You know, if you're outside in that heat, you come inside, it's the same temperature. Your body just can't cool off at all, you know, for 24 hours.
What do you think of my sound effect abilities?
I love the sound effect abilities. They're way better than mine.
One last question. Down south when we saw Hurricane Barry, because that actually did upgrade to a hurricane, from what I understand. And it sounds like there wasn't as much rain associated with than what they thought there would be. So that seems like they might have got a little break considering they were expecting a lot of water in that area.
Right, yeah. It looked like they were going to have like 1 to 2 feet of rain. And in the end, it looks like most places got between 6 and 10 inches of rain. So, like, you know, kind of half of what we were expecting. So, I mean, that's a good thing down there because they already had catastrophic flooding, you know, in the lower Mississippi Valley back in the spring. So it's a good thing it didn't materialize like we thought.
Yeah, it was still a lot. But, you know, 2 feet would have been devastating.
Yes.
So good for
absolutely.
Them to do that. AccuWeather meteorologist Kyle Elliott, thank you for playing along with me because I do stupid things like this at night trying to imitate my dying air conditioner, and I'm not looking forward to Wednesday all through the weekend, so we'll see how that goes on.
Well, good luck to the AC and you and everybody out there.
I need to go give it a little pat on the head. Come
absolutely.
On, you can do it, buddy. Come on.
Yeah, a little kick in the butt.
Kyle Elliott, thank you again for coming on.
Yep, absolutely. Have a good one.
How cool is that? He joins us live from Pennsylvania, but AccuWeather's always so great at hooking up with us through the overnight. They'll explain things to us in a way that I can't because I'm not a meteorologist, so I have fun. Kyle Elliott, AccuWeather meteorologist there. Yeah. Temperatures that'll feel above 100, close to 110, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Oh, that sounds terrible. That sounds so bad. But no, good for the South right now. We didn't exactly know what was going to happen. Remnants of Hurricane Barry are moving north. Here's CBS reporting.
I'm Jim Crisul in Jackson, Mississippi. What's left of once Hurricane Barry will hang around in the Mid-South, dumping more heavy rain in the Mississippi River Basin. Greg Michael is head of Mississippi's Emergency Management Agency.
My concern over something like this is that complacency sets in with the public.
Barry caused widespread damage in Louisiana, prompted high water rescues, and flooded several areas. The storm did not claim any lives or cause any serious injuries. Jim Crisul, CBS News, Jackson, Mississippi.
The heat is on. Bah, bah, bah. I just wanted an excuse to play this one more time.
Side your head.
Bah, bah. This is a pretty good heat song. I think this may be better than Ice Ice Baby. I don't know. It's hard to tell. You're talking about songs that are talking about temperatures. Not bad. So, yeah, Wednesday, look for that in St. Louis, Missouri. It's a bad time for your AC to be out. Yeesh. Yeah, I forgot how good this song was. Be prepared. I can already hear it now. I can hear my wife. Why is it so hot in this house? Honey, it's 110 degrees outside. The air conditioner can only do so much. If it drops to 20 or 25 degrees, we're lucky, but still, it's going to be hot in that house. Oh, boy, not looking forward to that. Whew, yikes. You know, we're going to be joined next with Captain Mark Honeybell, author of the new book that's called Across America by Motorcycle. He's doing exactly that. He is on his motorcycle. I mean, not any motorcycle, a very special motorcycle. If you are a motorcyclist or an enthusiast, you may be very impressed with what he's riding across the United States. In fact, I'm shocked this motorcycle can make it across the United States. He started at the East Coast, making his way all the way to the West Coast. And it was today that he made his way through Missouri. He started in Hannibal, went all the way down to Kansas City, where he's resting tonight. And I had a chance to talk to him about his journey and why he's doing it. Captain Mark Honeybell coming up next on Overnight America KMOX. And joining us now is the author of a new book called Across America by Motorcycle, Captain Mark Honeybell. Thank you so much for coming on to KMOX.
You're very welcome, sir.
I'm looking at your trip. Yeah, in the last couple of days, you went from Indianapolis to Hannibal, then Hannibal all the way to Kansas City, where you are tonight. What? Tell me about this trip, what you're doing.
Well, I'm retracing the steps of a RAF Captain C.K. Shepherd, who did this trip in 1919 on the same make and model motorcycle that I happen to own. Not the same actual bike, but he came over from England after World War One, and for a little rest and relaxation, decided he's going to take a cross-country trip. Bought a brand-new Henderson four-cylinder motorcycle in Manhattan, and proceeded to drive it across the country over about 8 weeks.
Wow.
In 1919. Then wrote a book about it. Found the book when I was looking at my own bike and what I could do with it. And I just started kind of slowly dreaming about recreating this ride. And so I did a whole bunch of research into the book and the details, trying to reverse engineer it because it it's not written like a travelogue, it's or a diary. It's kind of more like a collection of neat stories.
Yeah.
And so I had to really dissect these stories and figure out some details. And along the way, I found out enough details and stuff. I said, you know what? Other folks might like to see this. So I did the book. The annotated edition is the byproduct of that research. And really, it's the foundation of the ride that I'm on right now.
Ah, so the book itself's not like a travelogue either. This is the research you did before going on this trip.
Well, the book that I've just done is the original manuscript plus all the notes that I found out about the details. So
wow.
It's got about 1,000 notes, illustrations, things like that to explain some of the details, what I found was accurate, what I found was slightly off, things like that that helped me determine what the best course of action was in terms of recreating the ride.
Yeah. You know, I don't know much about motorcycles. I know very little, but a Henderson, I've never heard of a Henderson. What's that story? How did you get your motorcycle?
Well, my father actually gave this thing to me back in 1978. It was sitting on the floor of his shop, and I asked him what he was going to do with it because he had gotten it from a friend of his who had brought it back from India when he was over, you know, going through Barnes or whatever, looking for China or something anyway. But he said, sure, you can have it. So I got it in 78, but didn't do anything with it. And then finally I decided I'm going to do something with it. I better get busy. So that was around the year 2000 when I finally started to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's obviously been 19 years in the making, and finding the right people to do it. Finally found a great team at Fourth Coast Fours up in New York.
Yeah.
So they've been great getting this bike on the road, and they've dispatched one of their actually the son of the owner is with me right now as a safety rider and instructor.
Oh, great.
Because the fact is that this bike is really the first motorcycle I've ever owned. And so
yeah.
I'm learning a lot. I'm 1,500 miles into this trip, and I'm learning a lot.
Yeah, Captain Mark Honeybell joining us here in the new book that is out, Across America by Motorcycle, fully annotated Centennial Edition. And tell me about the trip itself. How many miles total are you going to be riding? And when you're talking about a motorcycle of that age, you know, you're talking a 1919, it's surprising to me that it could even make it from one end of the country to the other 100 years ago. That's amazing to me.
Well, that is. He had his engine rebuilt 3 times on the way across.
Shepard
did.
Wow.
And I'm not going to be able to do that. There's just, you can't just pull into an auto zone and get parts for this. So I've got the best mechanic I can possibly have with me, and he's trying to nurse me and instruct me and tell me how to keep this engine alive all the way across. They've done it for quite a few Hendersons. They built Hendersons from 1912 through 1931, and they were the brainchild of Thomas and William Henderson, mm-hmm. brothers, who ended up selling their company to Ignaz Schwinn of the Schwinn Bicycle folks, and they built them alongside their Excelsior motorcycles
mm-hmm.
until 1931 when they shut everything down. But the Henderson four-cylinder is a big bike. It's 14 four-cylinders in line. Mine is the biggest bore they ever made. It was 2 3/4 inches round, 3-inch strokes. It was about 1,100 cc.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And I do know that. That's pretty impressive. And I know that when you're driving, you said that sometimes you could... I don't want to use puns or anything. Get some roadblocks or whatever. Have you encountered anything that's been difficult?
Yes, today. Mm-hmm. Today, we encountered 22 miles of gravel road that I was not expecting to be there. And that was a very difficult thing to ride on. And so, Loring, who's been my mechanic and safety rider, let me go because he was kind of amazed that the bike was performing so well.
Mm-hmm.
And he just kind of used it as a testament to what his team can put together in motorcycles. So I think on the one hand, he was terrified we were on that road for so long. On the other hand, he was pleased with the outcome that not only did it make it through to the other side, but we got it back on the highway and headed up to 60 miles an hour.
Yeah, so. Well, I mean, originally, the trek about 100 miles ago, I'm sure would have hit some gravel, dirt, things like that across America.
Yeah, he said that the roads were 95% dirt the whole way, gravel, so outside of cities.
You imagine that? Trying to do
no.
it that far?
No, I can't, and that's the amazing thing. Now, granted, I was driving on on gravel that was kind of recently dropped, so it was kind of soft and mushy. So he was probably driving on packed gravel, but still, it's amazing. I'm covering some serious distances every day. 330 miles yesterday, 250 miles today. So I cannot imagine him doing that. Now, granted, he had a lot more stops than I did, but it blows me away to think he was doing anything close to that over those roads.
Wow. All of that's amazing. Captain Mark Honeybell joining us here on KMOX. You have to do anything special for, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of bumps. I don't know how smooth of a ride it is, but anything for your back end, any special seats, anything for lumbar support, anything like that?
No, it's been suggested that I put a sheepskin padding over the seat. And so far, I think I'm going to make it with the seat I've got on it and without any padding. My shoulders get sore because it's an unusual way to hold handlebars. But other than that, and plus I'm probably holding the handlebars a little too tight sometimes, just making sure I don't fall over or anything like that. But no, it's not too bad. And I've on the gravel roads today, I did stand up a bit to avoid some of the deeper potholes and things like that.
But it
works. I mean, it's a pretty comfortable ride when it comes right down to it.
Yeah, you went from Hannibal all the way to Kansas City. What did you think of the scenery in Missouri?
Oh my gosh! I mean, that was the downside was the gravel roads. The upside was just the unbelievable. We're driving past these farms, and they've got all their hay bales, big ones, the big round ones. Mm-hmm. They've got them all out there. It's really nice. I mean, that's why we went with the off Main 36 West, we were traveling on. That's the main reason we did that. So we didn't have to just kind of get on the highway and go. Mm-hmm. So we were driving through every small. We went through Buckland, Missouri. We went through Elkade, I forget the name of it. So that's, you know, what C.K. Shepherd did. He wrote about some of these places. He stayed in Buckland. So I wanted to see them. So that's been the reward for me, is to just kind of ride along and think, my goodness, you know, here he is. He did this 100 years ago, and I'm out here doing the same thing.
Yeah, pretty special. And you say you get a couple of days off every once in a while, but you're mostly traveling every single day. So what happens on an off day for you?
Well, what's going to happen on tomorrow's off day is we're moving to hotels. Apparently, we're going to stay 2 days here in Kansas City, but apparently the hotel misled me just a bit on what the parking opportunities were for a truck and trailer.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to bug out tomorrow morning and drive it on down to Olathe and drop it on the road south of Olathe on Tuesday, which will cut out about an hour and 20 minutes or so of driving for me. But it should get us on the open road a lot faster out to the Great Plains, out toward Great Bend.
Wow. So when do you anticipate ending this journey, and where do you end the journey?
We end the journey in San Francisco at the Clift Hotel on August 6th.
Wow. You got not that much longer. You're making some pretty good timing, it looks like.
No, we're doing pretty good. It's about a five-week plan that I had set out. And now I've got people meeting me places and expecting me to be there. So I've got a lot of more pressure to do that. In fact, C.K. Shepherd's son is meeting me in San Francisco.
Oh, cool.
When we arrive.
That's really cool. You know, if people wanted to check out your book, Across America by Motorcycle, where can they find it?
Well, it is on Amazon. It's on Barnes & Noble. There's a Kindle version now. The website, AcrossAmericaByMotorcycle.com, well, kind of has all the links and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So that's a kind of a good central place to find out about the book and about what I'm doing with the bike and any number of other things about my motorcycle, about C.K. Shepherd, about his life. And that's a pretty good place.
Yeah.
And I've also got a Facebook thing, which I'm doing that, and a little bit of a YouTube stuff. But it's just me. My staff is me. So my ability to post stuff is somewhat limited.
Yeah, you really can't play around on the road. That's not a good
idea.
Well,
that's true. I'm trying to sort it out. Maybe I'll figure it out. Maybe I can do some interviews with my. I have a headset in my helmet.
Oh wow!
I've been reserving making calls for my support team so they can call me and tell me, "Hey, Mark, you're on the wrong road."
Yeah. So. Either that, or you might want to get that smoke looked at or something like that.
We have some exhaust issues, but it's all sealed up now.
Good.
And I picked the hot molten metal out of my foot, so we're all set with that.
Man. United States Air Force Captain Mark Honeybell joining us across America by motorcycle. You know, it is Amazon Prime Days. You got a couple of days where people are going to be buying things like crazy on Amazon. This would be a good one to check out for a gift or for
absolutely.
Yourself.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yep.
Across America by Motorcycle is the name of the book. Go check it out. Captain Honeybell, thank you so much for coming on to KMOX.
Thanks a lot, Ryan.
You know, that's pretty cool. Man, I always thought, wouldn't that be cool to ride motorcycle cross country? I've never rode a motorcycle. My wife, she said I would be allowed to get one sometime in the future. But when I moved here to St. Louis, I abandoned those dreams. There is no way I would ride a motorcycle in St. Louis. People drive way too crazy. I don't think I'd survive. I'm honest, I don't think I'd survive. So maybe one day I'll pick that back up and give it a try. This is Overnight America, KMOX. Hey, how about that? Big L, what's going on, man?
Three things.
Yeah.
First off, you are way younger than you sound.
I know.
Because I saw your picture on the website. I'm like, oh, my God.
I know. You guess what? We had a Big L sighting. Our producer, Mike, saw you on Friday morning at our sister station going out for the donuts.
I don't want no trouble, but I'll just say this. How in the heck do you, how long you been here?
2 years now, a little over 2 years.
In less than 2 years, you PL'd Bob Costas. Seriously. I mean, Frankie says you're making him look good at this point of proceedings.
I mean to tell you. I want to say we've fixed things. I think we're on a good standing.
Well, you're lucky, because Bob Hyland adopted Costas, and that was his son.
Uh-huh, I know.
So
it's going to be hard.
I just want to say that, you know what, though? Bob Costas is the man, even though I used to listen to him when he was the Spirits ABA broadcaster.
Oh, wow.
You want to go back and archive? Oh, yeah. Julius Erving came in with the Colonels. We had Freddie Lewis, Marvin Barnes. Yeah. Moses Malone.
That's some time ago.
Yeah, and when the ABA merged, the brothers that owned it took 1% of the earnings,
mm-hmm.
and they sold them before they died at like $420 billion.
Oh wow!
Yeah, so Costas is the man. So you need to regroup and. Your P's and Q's, because you'll never, once you say it, you can't get it back. That's why I'm not in radio.
Oh, man.
I love you, bud.
I can't believe he heard it to begin with.
And one more thing. Oh, yeah. One more thing. Support the Air Force. I worked at Boeing 20 years. I had the pleasure of building the F-15 Eagle. I was in final assembly rack. They brought that girl to me in pieces. The middle, the wings, the butt. We put it under gear, stuffed it, put it in, and sent it to the ramp. And they put the engines in it.
Yeah.
And I put Senator at the time, John Ashcroft, and it's Senator at the time, Rick Santorum, in the cockpit in 99 when they brought him in for a tour.
Yeah.
And James Odom, his chief of staff, calls me and says, Senator Ashcroft's coming to your building next Tuesday with Rick Santorum, the head of Senate Armed Service Committee out of Pennsylvania. He wants you to give him the tour.
That's cool.
Well, you should have seen the alarm bells went off when I put those two in the cockpit. Yeah, that is not protocol.
Well, everyone's
but
getting
God
in trouble, it sounds
like. Air Force, support the Air Force, support the military. I had a pleasure building darn near every platform they got out there. And God bless all of you.
Thanks, Big L.
And you too, Rick.
All right.
Quit messing up.
Quit messing with Bob Costas.
Frankie says it's going to get rough if you keep it up, he said, Frankie.
Oh, man. See, I don't know. Who else can I do? Like Joe Buck would be next. Who else can I misrepresent?
No. Oh, you ready? You ready?
Yeah.
Yachty.
Oh, please don't. I don't know how I could. See, Big L drops from there. There's no way I would ever... Yachty would have to do something pretty crazy for me to comment on it. But no, the whole thing with Bob Costas, we're going to play the interview back. Not the one that spurred him to give me a message, but the one that actually we had last Thursday night. We're going to do it right after 1 o'clock. So if you missed it, we're going to play it back to you. I cut it up in three segments as opposed to playing a full 25 straight minutes. So we have to try to adhere to some of the formatics that you would normally find on this radio program. But I'm so glad Bob even took the time to reach out to me. And, you know, he does it because he cares about KMOX. Now, I don't know if you've heard when Bob comes on with Charlie, but whenever Bob comes into the town, he normally stops into Charlie Brennan's program, and you should listen to the wine line after Bob comes on, okay? Now, what I'm saying is, Big Al, what I'm saying is, I think some people could hear certain comments, and it gets people worked up. I get it. I totally understand that. A lot of times, it's out of context. With the clip that was saved inside the system here, didn't really have context in with it, so I was reacting to something that didn't have the right context. I thought we had a good conversation about it, honestly. You guys can judge for yourself. The Bob Costas interview after 1 o'clock. That's also at KMOX.com/ONA. I had a couple of other stories I wanted to get to. The whole Play Gloria, cease and desist. We can do that coming up in a moment. I could do some karaoke if you want me to do The Heat Is On, because we all know we're going to get ourselves into some trouble later this week.
The heat is on.
I know. Wonder how many times I could milk that. You want to take your guesses now if you're going to start putting the odds on Vegas? The over-under is set at 6.5. Right now, I think we played it 3 times, so you place your bets now. You know, we're getting close to Prime Day. We're actually just a few hours away from it. 2 a.m. Central Time is when Prime Day starts, where everyone goes online and buys a bunch of stuff from Amazon. Stuff you don't need, stuff you think you want, and by the time you get it, you think to yourself, great, this is going to go in a box somewhere. You know, I might use it a few times, but it'll probably go in a box somewhere, and then I won't think about it until I'm ready to move, and then I'll think, man, why do I have so much stuff? I'm just going to throw this out anyway. Save yourself the money. You'll be happy to have it. Unless you really need something. Like if you are in desperate need of a new TV, this is a great time to buy it. If you're in desperate need of, you know, some electronics or whatever, yeah, look into it. You might have a good deal. If you don't need that stuff, do yourself a favor. Try to restrict your time looking at that unless you really, really need it. Because, man, you can get sucked into it. Next thing you know, you're a couple $100 down on stuff you really didn't need when you could be spending it on, like, frozen custard. That'll be coming up, too. And there's a story on KMOV about a man who says these Lime bikes and these Lime scooters, things like that, saved his life. Wow, what could have happened there for his life to be saved because of those things? Guess we'll find it out, too. You can reach me on Twitter, at Ryan Recker. And again, the podcast, download it at KMOX.com/ONA. Make it your favorite podcast. Click that subscribe button. Tell your friends about it. Tell your enemies about it. Tell your neighbors about it. Tell your dog about it. You know what? If your dog has a smartphone, have your dog subscribe to KMOX.com/ONA.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.